Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. Our broadcast engineer back in the 1230 WSOO studios is Mark Santangelo, as we are live at Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. Come on down to Applebee's, as we are located in the sports bar. And they just opened up for lunch right now. Lots of great specials today at Applebee's, as they will have plenty of sports on today. So if you're looking for your favorite college football game, come on up to Applebee's here in Sault Ste. Marie. We have a busy morning here on Coach's Corner. Coming up, we will talk Lake Superior State University club softball with a couple of their players, Ashley Menominee and Alana Reneko, as well the voice of Laker hockey, Bill Crawford, will be joining us around 11:30, as he will talk about last night's game at Taffy Able Arena and the season in general. And then coming up around 11:45, we'll talk Sioux Eagles hockey with their general manager, Bruno Braganolo. But as always, we start on this Saturday morning with the scores that matter from last night. In high school football, in a game you heard right here on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson, the Sioux High Blue Devils keep their playoff hopes alive as they travel to Benzie Central and shut them out, winning by the score of 22-0. With the win, the Blue Devils have jumped two spots to 36th in playoff points in Division 4. Still on the outside looking in, as you have to be in the top 32 in your division and will need to win next week's game at Gladstone this upcoming Friday night, and likely get some help with the teams ahead of them losing. You can hear that game right here on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson this upcoming Friday night, starting with the kickoff show around 6:35. In other Area 11-player football games from last night, the St. Ignace Saints, they fell to Oscoda by the score of 18-12 to drop their record to 2-6. They will finish their regular season this upcoming Friday night at Harbor Springs. In 8-player football in our EUP Game of the Week over on Country 105, Pickford's Josh Sullivan had 5 touchdowns as the Panthers rolled to a 44-8 win over Cedarville Detour, improving their record to 7-1. Before that game, the field in Pickford was dedicated to late Chuck Bennett, former athletic director and Pickford coach and athletic standout. Pickford will be at home this upcoming Friday night as they will take on Rudyard. You can hear that game over on Country 105 with Matt Pocket starting Friday night with the pregame show at 6:45. Cedarville Detour now 1-6 on the season. They will face Engadine at home on Friday. Rudyard, they got a big win on the road last night as they defeated Gaylord St. Mary by the score of 27-0. Rudyard improves to 6-2 on the season and back in the playoff picture. And they will be, as I mentioned earlier, at Pickford on Friday. Newberry also in the playoff picture, and they cruise to a 59-14 win at winless Engadine. The Indians will end their regular season on Friday at Rogers City, while Brimley, they are scheduled to take on Superior Central this afternoon. In other high school football scores from Friday night, Launce over Manistique, 28-6. Iron Mountain all over Ishpeming, 49-14. Stevenson won at Ontonagon, 36-16. Alpena in overtime knocked off Escanaba, 26-20. Menominee fell to Little Chute out of Wisconsin, 15-6. Marquette over Traverse City West, 28-17. Calumet shuts out Hancock at home, 30-0. Nagani also at home wins over Houghton, 26-6. Kingsford defeats Petoskey, 35-21. Westwood over Bark River Harris, 50-8. And North Dickinson over Kearney Nadu, 50-26. 3 games canceled last night due to COVID-19. Gwynn at West Iron County, Ironwood at Munising, and North Central at Gogebic. Other scores in the Northern Michigan Football League: Boyne City over Elk Rapids, 48-0. Charlevoix edges out Mansalona, 28-20. And Glen Lake over Kalkaska, 39-8. East Jordan, they knock off Harbor Springs, 22-14. And Grayling defeats Ogama Heights, 50-27. A couple other high school games: Rogers City over Mayo, 36-28. Cadillac edges out Portland, 10-7. And Traverse City Central all over Brother Rice, 56-13. In the Ontario Hockey League, the Sioux Greyhounds improved to 3-1 on the season, as the Greyhounds win Friday night at Guelph by the score of 4-2. The Hounds look to sweep their three-game road swing as they will be taking on winless Owen Sound tonight at 7:30. You can hear that game on Rock 101 with Jerry Liscombe Jr. tonight, starting with the pregame show around 7 o'clock. In other OHL games from Friday night, Hamilton shut out Niagara 4-0. Kingston edged out Sudbury 5-4. North Bay all over Mississauga 7-1. Oshawa over Ottawa 4-1. And Kitchener knocked off Sarnia 5-1. One other game, London over Windsor 5-1. In the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, the Sioux Eagles were down 3-0 and came back to defeat Elliott Lake on the road by the score of 4-3. The Eagles now 5-2-1 on the season. They will be at Blind River tonight and the Sioux Thunderbirds tomorrow afternoon. We'll talk more Sioux Eagles hockey with their general manager, Bruno Bragonolo, coming up around 11:45. In other NLJHL games from Friday night, Espanola upsets Greater Sudbury 5-3, Hearst topped French River 5-3, and Cochrane edged out Kirkland Lake 2-1. The Lake Superior State University Hockey Lakers had their home opener last night at the Taffy Able Arena against St. Thomas. Fans were in attendance for the first time in over a year and a half, and the Lakers skated away with a 3-1 win in their first game in the new CCHA. The Lakers will be in action tonight, taking on St. Thomas at Taffy Able Arena. During that game, they will raise the banner for last season's WCHA playoff championship. You can hear that game over on Yes FM with Bill Crawford starting the pregame show around 6:35. We also have Bill coming up here on the corner around 11:30. In other games last night involving CCHA teams, North Dakota topped Bemidji State 4-3. Providence defeated Minnesota State 5-2. Notre Dame skated to a 2-1 win over Michigan Tech, while Northern Michigan, they won over the U.S. national team under-18s 5-3. Laker volleyball was in action Friday at the Midwest Regional Crossover at Hammond, Indiana. The Lakers fell to Malone by a 3-1 count. And the Lakers are in action right now down in Hammond against Truman, and they will take on William Jewell today at 5 o'clock. Laker men's and women's cross-country teams took part in the Northwoods pre-conference tune-up meet, and that was yesterday. The women's team placed fourth, and the men's team placed third. The Lakers will compete in the GLIAC cross-country championships next Saturday down in Saginaw. And finally, Lake State softball. They were scheduled to take on Michigan State tomorrow at Losee Field. However, due to poor field conditions, those games will be moved to East Lansing. We'll talk more about Laker softball with a couple of their players coming up next here on Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. We are joined by a couple of the Lake Superior State University softball players, Ashley Menominee, who we'll be talking to here in a moment, and coming up, Alana Renico, both the president and vice president of the softball team. We'll start with Ashley. Thanks for coming on Coach's Corner, Ashley, and welcome.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Well, Ashley, you are the president of the Lakers softball team. You've basically been with the team since they kind of restarted there a few years ago. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your softball background, and why you came to Lake State to play softball.
Of course. So I'm from Manistique, which isn't that far from here, so I kind of know a little bit about the area pretty well. My family's actually from Brimley, so that's one of the reasons why I chose to come to Lake State. My first year at Lake State was actually the first season of club softball there. I wanted to play on the varsity team there, but by the time I had applied, we found out that it was cut. So I'm still really glad that I found my place on the club softball team. I've been playing there for 6 years. We've had some struggle in the past with the amount of people on our roster, but this year we have 14 people, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, very good. I was able to officiate your home games there a few weeks ago against Grand Valley, and yeah, it was nice to see such a good participation with the club. Ashley, how has the season gone so far? As I mentioned earlier, I was actually scheduled to officiate your games tomorrow at Losee Field, but anytime you have games in October here in Sault Ste. Marie, there's always that question about weather, and of course with all the rain and the field conditions, those are moved to East Lansing tomorrow. But just tell us how the season has gone so far.
You know, we've done pretty good. We do have a couple losses under our belt, which is fine. but we only have 5 returning players this year. So having those strong freshmen come in and just build throughout the years is kind of working for us. We can only go up from here at this point.
The one thing I noticed just doing those 3 games there was it just seemed to be a good group that you have mm-hmm. this year. Very positive. You did lose all the games, but a couple of those games were very competitive. It seems like you have a good core group of girls that, you know, don't have to play softball, but they want to.
Right. In the past, we've had some girls that have had very little experience come on the team, which has been difficult. But this year, we have girls that have played in the past, and they have that competitive edge to try to do, like, the hardest that they can, which is really nice.
Last season, Ashley, many teams across Michigan unable to play. Lake State, one of the few teams that were able to get in some games. Has that helped you this season? Because talking to a few of the Grand Valley players, a lot of their players, it was their first game since high school because they didn't play last year. Has that helped the Lakers this year, you know, getting in a few games last year when a lot of teams, they didn't get them in?
I think, yes, it did help us a little bit. We definitely had a pretty good season last year with the few games that we did get to play. We definitely got some wins under our belt, which was really nice and kind of built our returners' confidence up. But being with only 5 returners, we do have all those freshmen that haven't played the past season or two. So just getting them back into the swing of things has been a fun time.
And you are one of the pitchers, I believe, for the Laker softball team. How long have you been pitching? At what age did you start? And why did you want to become a pitcher? Because you're a pretty darn good one.
Thank you. I've been playing softball since I was about 8 years old. I don't quite remember when I started pitching, probably a couple years after that. I've just stuck with it throughout high school. Before I decided to come to college, I didn't think I was going to be a pitcher in college. So my senior year, I actually kind of put it on the back burner a little bit. I was more like a third string pitcher. But once I got into college, Linda really needed some pitchers, and I told her that I could do it, and I've just stuck it out for the past 6 years or so.
Let's talk about your manager, Linda Bouvet, who I call all things softball in this area. I mean, softball, while it existed before Linda, really wasn't there, and she's done a great job, not just with Lake State, but also, you know, building the youth programs here in the area. You know, someone that knows a lot about the game. Trust mm-hmm. me, as an umpire, she'll mm-hmm. tell me some of the things that I might not know about the game. But just playing for Linda, I know you guys have a very good partnership with the club. How is it playing under her?
I love playing for Linda. Linda is all about softball.
Yes, she
and
is.
I'm very competitive when it comes to softball, and it's been super nice working under her and just sharing the love of the game with her.
We're here with Ashley Menominee, one of the softball players for the Lake State softball team. And Ashley, what are some of your goals this season as far as softball and just education goals and plans after Lake State?
Well, this year I'm still not graduating school. I do have another year. This, however, is going to be my last season with the club softball team. I figured it's about time to retire my softball career. But goals for the year for the team, I just want everyone to have fun and, like, play competitively. I want them to play their best. We do have some girls that kind of get in their head sometimes, and my goal is to try to keep them from doing that. Just keep their heads up and keep playing as hard as they can.
And, you know, officiating softball, I used to do both baseball and softball, but I switched to softball only because I really enjoy the game. It's a fun game to be a part of, and, you know, being behind the plate and seeing how fast some of these pitches come in, and not just from you, but opponents, and even at the high school level, I mean, it's just a fun game to be mm-hmm. around, and certainly you've been around it a long time. What keeps you going? Why do you like playing softball?
I actually play with my sister. She's on the team as well. And I think just playing with her, we grew up playing it. It was kind of my outlet for my competitiveness because I'm very competitive. And just being able to be on the field every day just kind of keeps me going. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Final question, Ashley, before we turn it over to Alana. Looking at your opponent tomorrow, Michigan State. Obviously, I believe you've seen them in a tournament a few weeks ago. Michigan State, all you have to say is that because you're playing a very large school.
Right.
What do you expect out of the games tomorrow? Certainly a tough task, but are you guys up for it?
Yes, I think so. During the tournament we played them in, it was our last game playing them, so we were kind of tired out after 4 games. You know, you're kind of tired. I'm hoping all our girls show up with strong heads tomorrow, and we're just going to go as hard as we can.
Well, Ashley, appreciate you taking time to join us here on Coach's Corner, and best of luck this season, and hopefully I'll see you again on the field maybe in the spring when you have a few games. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, we're going to turn the headset over to another Lake Superior State University softball player, Alana Renico. I got that name right, Alana, I think. Welcome
yes,
to Coach's Corner.
Thank you.
Well, Lana, just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your softball background, and why you came to Lake State to play softball here.
Okay, so actually I'm originally from downstate Clio, Michigan. It's like in between Bertrand and Flint. I have an aunt who lives in Sheboygan, and her favorite restaurant in the world is Wicked Sisters.
Oh.
So every time we visit her, we go, and I always drove by Lake State, and I just thought it was beautiful. So I did some research, and then I ended up coming here. And I've played softball my whole life, started in T-ball, and just have always played. And so I just loved the chance to be able to keep playing in college, but, like, not as competitive as, like, a real college varsity team, but still pretty competitive.
And, of course, her other favorite restaurant here is Applebee's, because that's where we're at tonight. So I appreciate that. Alana, again, I'm going to ask you basically the same questions I asked Ashley. Just so far, how has the season gone? As I mentioned, you're going to be at Michigan State tomorrow because of field conditions here. I know you both were probably looking forward to being at home. How's the season gone for you and the team so far?
I think it's going great. We have so many more girls this year than we're used to. And it's nice because we all get along so well and we all bond and joke, and it just makes the game so much more fun. Even if we're down in a game, we all have each other's backs.
Who are some of the other players on the team, Alana? I see you have a list of players. Why don't you name off some of the other girls on this year's Lake State softball team?
So we have 14 girls this year. We have Claire Atkinson, who is a returner, Emma Bade, Cassidy Bells, who also a returner, Emily Cornea, Tori Davis, Kira Frisvall, Kylie Hoffman, Alex Menard, who is also
local, like, yep.
Amanda Menominee, Ashley, of course, Sierra Ardonic, me, Avery Smith, and Cindy Vanderbest.
And which position do you play?
I'm a catcher.
Okay, you are a catcher, so you get to hear the banter with the umpires back there. And I didn't ask Ashley this, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. You've seen me officiate at least a couple times. Honest opinions, I take criticism as good as anyone. As far as my umpiring abilities, are they as good as my broadcasting abilities?
I'd even go to say they're a bit better.
Oh, wow.
You're amazing.
Wow, thank you. Not so much broadcaster, but umpire. Well. No. Well, I appreciate that, and flattery gets you everywhere on this show, I might add. Alana, now what year are you here at Lake State?
I'm a junior.
Okay, so you were able to play games last year when a lot of teams weren't. Has that helped you? Because, as I mentioned with Ashley, a lot of teams that you play didn't get to play last year. So just getting in games and getting on the field certainly has to help for you and the team this season.
Yes, of course. Every year that I play, I just give myself crap because I feel myself getting older and my body getting tired of it. So I don't know what my body would have done for a whole year off without any playing. It would have hated me this year.
As I mentioned to Ashley, the camaraderie with the team, I was very impressed with, losing those games. You still were in most of them, and the team atmosphere and just the positivity seemed to be very good. You know, a lot of these girls, you know, they're not scholarship players. You're a club team. Has the team chemistry been good in your opinion?
Yes, it's been so amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, I love all the girls every year, but this year it just feels like we all get along so well, and everybody gets along with everybody, not just like little groups and stuff.
Talking Lake State softball with their catcher, Alana Renico. A couple more questions here, Alana, before we let you go. As I'm basically asking the same questions I did to Ashley, what are some of your goals this season as far as softball and your educational goals and plans after Lake State?
Honestly, for softball, if we just keep having fun and keeping our heads up the whole game, that's all I can ask for out of them. Because so far they're doing amazing at it, and I love that. So if they keep doing that, I'll be completely happy.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
As for, like, goals after, I do want to go to grad school and get my master's in social work, so I still have a lot of schooling ahead of me.
Well, it's a great field to get into, certainly one that I'm in, and best of luck there. And I mentioned, you know, Ashley being a pitcher, Alana, you're a catcher, and as an umpire, I got the utmost respect for anybody that becomes a catcher. At what point in your softball career did you say, you know what, I want to get hit by a dozen balls and crouch down all the game? Did you always play that position, or is that something you played later on?
I've actually always been a catcher. I joined my first travel team when I was like 10, and nobody else wanted to do it at all. So I was like, okay, I'll try it, and I've stuck with it ever since.
Final question for you, Alana, before we let you go. We mentioned your manager, Linda Bouvet. How has that experience been at playing under Linda and certainly her wealth of knowledge as far as the game of softball?
It's so amazing because she's always pushing you to do your best and keep growing, and she's never settled with the bare minimum, and I love that, and it keeps us always trying to do better.
That was Alana Renico joining us here on Coach's Corner, along with Ashley Menominee. The Lake Superior State University Lakers softball team will be on the road tomorrow against Michigan State. And Alana, very few times in my life, because I'm a big Michigan State fan, do I root against the Spartans. Certainly won't at noon when they play Indiana in football, but I'm pulling for you guys tomorrow. Best of luck, and thanks for joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, we're going to take a break. We come back, we're scheduled to be joined by the voice of Laker hockey, Bill Crawford, all coming up here on Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. And joining us, the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, joining us on Coach's Corner. Bill, appreciate you taking time out to join us, and welcome to Applebee's and Coach's Corner.
Thanks, Scotty. Good to be here. Good to talk Laker hockey anytime.
Yes, it is. And, Bill, let's talk about last night's game at the Taffy Able Arena, the first game in the new CCHA for the Lakers, and their first game in almost 50 years against St. Thomas. You have to go back to their NAIA days, the year I was born, I might add, when the last time those two teams met. The Tommies gave the Lakers a battle, Bill. The Lakers would win by the score of 3-1. Your thoughts on the game and what you saw?
Yeah, it wasn't a great game by any means, but it was really good to have all those fans in the building. There was a lot of excitement. It is Great Lakes State weekend, and a lot of people have come back, alumni, to, for various reasons. There was a dinner last night. There will be the Hall of Fame induction today for athletics at the Arts Center at 1:30, and that will be exciting. We'll be going to that to see Sean Talaire and Tom Borelli and Becky Marquardt-King, and you know, it's going to be good, and we always enjoy that, too. But the game last night, I think the Lakers probably thought they could win by showing up, and not all of them played that way, probably, but some of them did. And they got on the wrong side of the puck a few times. And this team from St. Thomas, they don't have the most talent in the world, but they got hard workers.
And
they
get
in the passing lanes. Oh, an outstanding coach, Rico Blasi. He's been around a long time, and they just try to make your life miserable and try to take advantage of your mistakes. And, you know, we made a lot of mistakes last night. We just didn't play as hard as we should have. And they kind of outwilled us for much of the game. And that's why it was tight. It was 1-1. They were up 1-0 at one point. So we came back, though, and we get a goal late in the game. And, you know, Bengtsson scores. And then we add an empty netter by Harrison Roy, and we win the game 3-1. But it was not easy. It was a tough game.
Yeah, St. Thomas certainly came to play. And, Bill, you mentioned having fans back at Able Arena certainly probably helped the team and certainly helped the atmosphere, because you've done some games in empty buildings, as have I. Just having the fans back after about 18 months or so, certainly from a broadcasting perspective, is a lot better. And certainly the team had to, you know, get inspired from some of that good crowd support, especially the students.
Yeah, and the student section was really rocking last night. They made a lot of noise, and that helps our team. Our guys like that. They feed off that. And, you know, I think Matt Pocket pointed out correctly last night late in the game that there are a lot of guys on our team who had never played in front of a home crowd,
right?
You know, including Brandon Percelli,
yeah.
You know, and Logan Genuine, who were transfer students, and then all your freshmen and all your sophomores. Every sophomore and every freshman on that team's never played in front of a home crowd until last night. So it was exciting for them, I think, and they fed off of it quite a bit. But they're going to have to play a little bit different game. I think you'll see some changes in our lineup tonight, too. I think you'll see some guys who played last night not in the lineup, and some guys who were sitting out will be playing tonight.
Looking at the season so far, Bill, the Lakers are 2-3 after splitting at Nebraska-Omaha and getting swept to a very good Michigan team. Bill, playing these early road games against tough opponents, I think, helps the Lakers as they prepare and currently playing in their league system. And, boy, you saw that Michigan team twice. COVID-19 stopped them last year. They're going to need something else to stop them, because they're loaded.
Oh, yeah. They've got so many good players in their lineup. I think the only thing that'll beat Michigan is their youth, their inexperience, perhaps. If somebody gets ahead of them and can make them, for one thing, a lot of them played in the National Team Development Program, and that's elite athletes, but it's also guys who expect certain things. And, you know, you get to be a little bit spoiled when you're like that. So you can be taken off your game, I think, by a really good team. You know, it's going to be an outstanding game tonight, because you got Minnesota State playing against Michigan.
Yeah.
And Minnesota State's the kind of team that can beat Michigan. They can do things that Michigan's not going to like at all. So it'll be interesting, but that Michigan team is really good. I mean, 7 first-round draft picks, 5 of them from this past draft,
yeah,
including
4
of the top 5.
Yeah.
they're really good. Owen Power could be playing in the NHL tonight. He's just the same sort of player that Moritz Seider is for the Red Wings. So if people want to make a comparison, watch Moritz Seider tell me he can't play in the NHL, and then Owen Power, he's the same thing. He's 6'4", 214, and he can skate, and he can move the puck. So that kid belongs in the NHL. The only reason he didn't sign and go is it's Buffalo. He doesn't want to play there.
Can't blame him there. We're joined by Bill Crawford, voice of Laker hockey. And, Bill, the Lakers were picked to finish sixth this year in the CCHA preseason poll. They weren't picked very high in last year's preseason poll, but they won the playoff championship in the erstwhile WCHA, if you will, and they will be raising the banner tonight for that. As far as sizing up the Lakers in the league this year, Bill, what are your thoughts as far as where they match up against other teams? You mentioned Minnesota State, who is very good. Just early on, where do you think the Lakers size up in these conference standings?
Well, I think I would have picked the Lakers to finish fifth at worst. I think we're better than Bowling Green. A lot of people picked us ahead of Bowling Green based on past performances, but the Falcons lost an awful lot. We lost a lot. We lost a third of our team and a lot of our scoring, but they lost just as much, if not more, than we did, and that's been evidenced by the early season results. So, you know, I think Northern Michigan's a better team, but I think we're right there with them. I think Northern and the Lakers are pretty much even. The top three teams in my mind are Minnesota State, Bemidji State, and then you got to throw Tech in there.
Yep.
I think Tech's very good this year.
Joey's
got himself
tough.
A good team. They probably should have won that game, but they got beaten overtime last night. Cal Burke scored two goals for Notre Dame, and they're good too, though, and they're an underachieving team and have been for a number of seasons now. So that's a great test for the Huskies, but they're good. They're a good team. We're going to play there the first weekend in November. We go to play at Michigan Tech, always a tough place to play. So, but I think those are the teams. And then I would say Northern and the Lakers, kind of even Steven there. And, you know, I think St. Thomas is probably going to be the last place team when it's all said and done. But they're going to give people a lot of trouble. They're tough to play against.
Do you like having the Lakers in the CCHA? Granted, it's not the same CCHA that the Lakers were in with the Big Ten schools, but I think the CCHA has done a good job, branding their brand and getting more promotion. Early returns on the new CCHA, what are your thoughts?
Well, they're spending a lot of time, as you say, branding and promoting. They're doing a good job with all of that. They're really putting a big emphasis on the television side of things. They've got an agreement with Flow Sport, as you know, and they pick up radio broadcasts, so they're getting our broadcast of home games. But they're making it kind of difficult for us who are broadcasters up there. They've got new cameras that are – we have to deal with that. Last night we spent a lot of time trying to look around things to see. And it's always been so easy at Lake Superior State for us. But, you know, you got to adapt like everything else. And I think the CCHA is going to be good. I think that Don Lucia is an outstanding choice for commissioner. I've known him for a long time. He's a good hockey man. Dominic Hennig, who was at Ferris State as their play-by-play announcer years ago, is their public relations man, their SID, as it will. And they're good. I think they're going to do a good job. I think they're putting more emphasis on doing a good job of officiating. They're trying to be like the pro sports are on TV now. They've mic'd up refs. They've put more cameras in the building, better lighting. They've got more emphasis on things that are publicity-led. And it's a little tougher for us up there, but we can live with it. We can adapt to that. I've been around a long time. You can move around things. But a lot of things in your way now that didn't used to be there, but that's because they're trying to improve the product for the fans.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about the transfer window in college hockey. Always a hot topic around here with Lake State. I still believe they're the smallest D1 school playing now.
Yeah, we're the smallest public D1.
Right, public, exactly.
There are some private schools like St. Lawrence that are smaller. I'm not sure if Union is or not. We'll play those two teams
right,
the next 2 weeks.
Right, back to back. But just overall, the transfer window, have they made that too easy for players? Or do you think it's a good thing for college hockey? Just overall transfer window, I've always wanted to ask you this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't like it because I think it hurts the small schools. I think if you develop a player and he becomes good by his junior or senior year, and then somebody else big comes along and says, hey, come and play with us. We got this and we've got that and we can do this for you. And it's like free agency,
right. You
know. But it hurts the small market teams just like it does in pro sports. I mean, it hurts Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and the smaller teams in baseball, for instance, because players would rather go play for the Dodgers or, you know, whatever. And what we have here is people want to go play at Minnesota State or North Dakota or Michigan or BC, and they'll opt out. And what it does is take good players away from the smaller programs. You develop somebody for 2-3 years, you know, you should be able to hang on to that person. So I like the old rules where you had to sit out a year if you transferred
too,
because it's fairer for everybody all the way around. They're always talking about making things equitable and creating parity. Well, you've just destroyed parity because now the big guys can feast on the little guys. See, I disagree with that. I don't think it's a good rule. And I don't like it when you have to test a kid's loyalty. People, young people don't understand loyalty sometimes. And, you know, if you make a decision and you're going to go to a school, unless somebody's mistreating you there or things are really horrendous
right,
with how things are going, you know, in that case, I guess, you know, I'd probably be for them being able to go somewhere else. But, man, if things are going pretty good, show some loyalty. Stick with your teammates. I mean, what are you saying to your teammates if you leave? But, you know, I don't begrudge Ashton Calder or anybody else doing what they did. That's up to them. They have to do what they have to do. I just don't like the fact that they're able to do it. I think there should have been a year there left for them to sit out if they do transfer.
Bill Crawford joining us on Coach's Corner, 1140, live from Applebee's. And, Bill, I've always wanted to ask this question, but I never have had the chance to do so. You've been doing Laker hockey games for a long time. How did you get into broadcasting, and why do you continue to do it? Did you go to school for it? Is it something you just kind of fell into like me? How did you get into broadcasting?
No, I think you have to have a real affinity for the game, and you have to have certain qualities that you have to have good voice quality. You have to have a knowledge of the game. You have to have a love for it. You know, that's, you know, I've been doing this for this is my 43rd year doing just Laker hockey and a lot of other hockey too, and a lot of other sports. I broadcast football and baseball and basketball. I like hockey because of the flow of the game. I love the competition. I like the guys. I think the players on the team are, you know, high-end guys who you enjoy being around. And, you know, that's one of the unfortunate things that this coronavirus has done to us is it keeps us from getting to really know. I don't know a lot of our freshmen
right,
and sophomores
yep,
because I'm not down in the room anymore. I can't go on the bench and practice. I go to practice, I have to sit upstairs. So you don't get to know them as well. You get to know them based on how they play, and you might get a chance to introduce yourself and talk to them a little bit. And I don't go on road trips much anymore either. That's the other end of things. When you get older, you don't want to make these long trips. But, you know, I still enjoy the competition. I enjoy the level of play. Like, I loved going to Michigan last week and just watching the Wolverines. I mean, that's a pro team right
there.
In
the old barn, Yost Arena.
Yeah, and all the excitement that you have with the fans back. I mean, that's all part of life for you, you know. And I've done it so long, it's like, it's time to do this. It's like in May, it's time to play golf. In October, it's time to do hockey. So, you know, and that's been a life. And I've been really, really fortunate that I've got a really good, patient wife who puts up with all this stuff.
That always helps. Bill Crawford joining us here on Coach's Corner. Bill, a couple more questions before we let you go. You mentioned this year 43rd season broadcasting Laker hockey. There's been a lot of changes in college hockey, not just over 43 years, but really over the last 10 to 15 years. In your opinion, what's been the biggest change as far as college hockey back in the Lakers' heyday when they were winning national championships till now? If you could pick one thing that's the biggest change, what would it be?
Well, I think just the recruiting end of things. It's so much more difficult for us to compete at a high level. The Lakers have a real hard time trying to get high-end players in here. You get a high-end player in and he leaves, or he goes pro early or something, you know, and you lose him. And that happens to everybody. I mean, that'll happen to Michigan. This Michigan team's not going to be the same team next year it is this year, because half those guys are going to go sign and make big money and play pro hockey. But it's really hard for us to recruit. So that change, I mean, when Frank Anzalone was building this thing up, he recruited kids who were a little bit older. We had 19, 20-year-old freshmen a lot of the time, and they're stronger physically. And then he was a bodybuilder himself, so he built them up to be even stronger yet. And we built a national championship program that lasted for 10 years. I mean, we were in the NCAA tournament for 10 years because we were stronger physically and more talented. We did get good players. Really tough to do that now. It's very hard to get those players. You can't get a Clayton Beddoes to come here right now. He's got too many other teams that want him to go there, and he's got too many choices. The recruiting end of things is so sophisticated now that it's very difficult to compete. But I kind of look at Lake Superior as being the little engine. You know, we're the ones trying to do things the hard way. And I think Damon and Zach and Mike York have done a great job. Zach Sizek, they've brought good players here. We have good players on this team right now. We're trying to play an up-tempo puck possession game. Last night it was not easy to do that because the team we were playing against, they're going to take away your passing lanes, hit you. They're very physical, and they take that kind of game away. But that's the biggest thing to me, is that college hockey has evolved into something where the big guys are big and the little guys can, like, go pound salt in Siberia. They don't really care. they just want you to be part of their league so they can play in a league. And they've chased some teams out. I mean, look at Huntsville's gone. Anchorage is gone. Alaska, they saved themselves by finding money. I don't know how they're doing it, but God bless them. Good for them. But it's really hard to compete if you're a smaller team trying to play at this level, because you just can't get the players you got to have to win.
Bill Crawford joining us on Coach's Corner. The Lakers again in action tonight at the Taffy Able Arena as they will take on St. Thomas. Great Lakes State weekend. And you can hear that game on Yes FM starting around 6:35 with Bill Crawford and Matt Pocket. Bill, appreciate you coming up to Applebee's and joining us. We'll certainly get you on here on the corner and on the game on ESPN 1400 and the Laker Hockey Show before we let you go. New time, noon on Tuesdays on ESPN 1400, correct?
Yes, that's when it's going to be. We have a little bit of a difficulty. We'll probably be doing that show in studio this coming Tuesday, but we'll figure this thing out. It's going to be at noon, and you can hear it on 1400. There won't be any fan involvement this coming week, but we hope to take care of that in the future. And Scott, good job. I appreciate you having me on and talking Laker hockey, and good job with the game, too. That's a nice little show you got going on Monday nights.
All right, that was Bill Crawford joining us on Coach's Corner. We'll be back with Bruno Braganolo, general manager of the Sioux Eagles, all coming up on Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson on this Saturday morning. And we're joined here at Applebee's by the general manager of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League, Bruno Braganolo. Bruno, appreciate you taking time out and joining us here on Coach's Corner.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. And it's good to be back doing this stuff again.
Yeah, it seems normal, doesn't it, Bruno, to be able to
face-to-face,
and we are getting there. And, Bruno, let's talk about the Sioux Eagles. The season is underway. You're playing all your games on the road, at least for now, and we'll talk about that coming up. The Eagles on the ice, pretty darn good start, 5-2-1 last night. Eagles down 3-0 to Elliott Lake, coming back to win by the score of 4-3. Certainly the results on the ice been good for the Eagles. Five wins already in eight games.
No, you're right. I think we've assembled a pretty good young group of players here, and Doug's bringing them along pretty good, I think. So yeah, I still don't think we've reached our potential yet. So yeah, we're kind of looking forward to this season. It's good to get off. Always good to get off to a good start, you know. So.
And the Eagles will be on the road tonight at Blind River and tomorrow afternoon against the Sioux Thunderbirds. And there will be home Sioux Eagles hockey coming up this week, Bruno. The Sioux Eagles will be taking on the U.S. National Development Team under 17s this upcoming Wednesday and Thursday at Polar Stadium. Game time 7 p.m. You were able to play this squad, who's a very talented and good squad last season. And certainly got to be looking forward to playing games at the Polar, not just this week, but possibly coming up in November.
No, absolutely. I mean, we're really excited about it. It's been a long time coming to play. You know, I think as well, we played them last year here, and that's been well over a year ago. And we had a couple other games against the local men's team here. But I think we're getting back to normal hockey again. And, yeah, it's been a long time coming. Everybody's excited about it. Yeah, like you said, they're going to be an excellent hockey team, so people are going to get to see really good hockey there, and we're going to have everything over with. The concession open, the beer concession will be open, the food concession will be open. So, yeah, we're all excited, looking forward to it.
Eagles, you know, have had to do a lot, Bruno, to get back in the NLJHL. All players are vaccinated, coaches and staff. You've established a real good partnership with the Bay Mills Health Center as far as having to test weekly to go to Canada. So you've done all the things necessary to get back in the league, and certainly having a partnership like that, because these tests are not cheap, as you know, certainly has helped the organization.
No, absolutely. I mean, they've given us a really good rate. on it, and they've been really easy to work with. Abby Canisto has been the one directing it for us, and she's done a phenomenal job getting us all organized and making the time available to get us in at a certain time spot, and it's worked out really good. I mean, it's a little bit of an inconvenience because doing it every time we go across, you know, it does get costly, but you know what? We made up our minds that we're going to do whatever we have to do to make it through this year, and you know, it's returning to normal little by little. It's taking time, but it's getting there. It's way better than last year, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. And we found out this week, Bruno, the U.S. border is scheduled to be reopened to non-essential Canadian travelers as well as the southern border on November 8th. And, of course, with the border closure, the Eagles have not been able to play league home games. You've had to make some accommodations at playing at the Rankin Arena. Where are we at right now, Bruno, as far as the league and the possibility of having league games starting in November? Has the league assured you that they will do everything they can to make it possible to play league games starting as early as November at Polar Stadium?
Well, that was the original. That was the plan. I mean, I haven't heard anything other than that. And so I really believe that's the direction we're going to go. And they're still, I mean, I think they're still 100% going to know about that because that was the original agreement we did. They didn't want us, like, we were just going to play our away games originally. But they weren't, at the time, we didn't know when the border was going to open
sure.
up, so they were concerned maybe we would get too far behind and games missed, home games missed, and then depending when it opened up, we wouldn't be able to make them up. I mean, at one time, it didn't look very good. We were thinking it wouldn't open up till January.
That's what I was thinking, too.
You know, so they said, well, you got to play your home games in Canada. So sometimes we've had to play at our opponent's rink. Sometimes we played at a neutral site. We were able to get Rankin for a couple of our home games last week and this week, so that worked out good for us. But, yeah, come November, our first home game after November 8th is November 21st at the Polar, and we're fully expected to be playing it there. And we have two makeup games that we have to do, reschedule, that were home games. We didn't get them in originally. So those may be done before that if there's time available. We're working on all that. We should have more clarity and all that, hopefully by the end of next week.
Do you know at this time, Bruno, as far as, you know, the Canadians and playing up there, you know, having fans vaccinated and their health and safety protocols, has the league had any conversations with you as far as what will be happening at the Polar as far as, you know, as fan attendance, mask wearing, vaccination? Has any of that been clarified as of right now?
Not 100%, but... I mean, Canada's got, you know, their government rules one thing, and we're governed under another government.
Right.
So it's we can't, I don't believe we really had the legality to do mandates. I mean, we recommend people wear masks.
Sure.
And then we know that most people are vaccinated. So, but there hasn't been any really clear-cut clarity on what we're going to do here. So we just recommend people, you know, stay safe, use their sense, common sense, which most people do, and, you know, it'll be a good environment. And, yeah, we do recommend probably wearing masks wouldn't be a bad idea. So
yeah, never hurts, that's for sure. No. Bruno Braganola joining us here on Coach's Corner, general manager of the Sioux Eagles of the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. Bruno, a couple more questions before we let you go. You know, the pandemic has taken a toll on everyone and the Sioux Eagles, you know, especially financially, not being able to have home games and concessions open and revenue. You know, for the stability of the organization, how important is it to be able to have home games starting in November where you actually, you know, you start to get revenue in? Because, you know, it's got to be a challenge right now.
No, it's definitely a challenge. And, you know, I want to thank all our fans who are going to, they've been calling me and asking me about games and they're anxious to get back, and all our sponsors too. They're hanging in there with us. So that's huge too. But yeah, it's definitely, I would probably use the word paramount that we get back
yes.
to playing games here at the Polar, so we get some revenue generating here, so to keep this team going. But, you know, Ron and myself both, you know, we said no matter what, we're going to get through this year one way or the other. So, but being able to play home games again, especially earlier than what we kind of expected is going to should help us quite a bit, I hope.
Sioux Eagles will be at home this week taking on the U.S. National Development Team under 17s. Again, those games are Wednesday and Thursday night at Puller Stadium at 7 p.m. start time for both, and we'll have Bruno on our Monday night show on ESPN The Game to talk more about the Sioux Eagles and the season. Bruno, appreciate you taking time out to join us here on Coach's Corner. We'll talk to you Monday night, 6:45 on The Game.
All right, thanks a lot, Scott. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you coming in. We're going to take our final break. We come back, we'll close up shop on Coach's Corner from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO. Scott Nason filling in for Dave Watson as we close up shop here from Applebee's on the I-75 Business Spur in Sault Ste. Marie. Looking at our broadcast schedule tonight quickly, Laker hockey on Yes FM with Bill Crawford and Matt Pocket as the Lakers will take on St. Thomas at the Taffy Able Arena. 6:35 pregame show over on Yes FM. Rock 101 will have Sioux Greyhounds hockey as the Greyhounds take on Owen Sound. You can hear that game with Jerry Liscombe Jr. starting around 7 o'clock. We'll also have Detroit Red Wings hockey right here on 1230 WSOO later on tonight as the Wings, off their opening night loss to Tampa Bay, will take on Vancouver. We'll have that game around 6:40 right here on 1230 WSOO. Want to thank our guests this morning, Ashley Menominee and Alana Reneko of the Lake State Club softball team. Also, Bill Crawford, voice of Laker hockey, and Bruno Braganolo, the general manager of the Sioux Eagles. Want to thank our broadcast engineer, Mark Sanangelo, back in the 1230 WSOO studios, and all of you for listening this morning. If you want to hear the podcast of Coach's Corner, you can find it on the website, thegamesportshow.podbean.com. That's going to do it here from Applebee's. Dave Watson will be back next week for our next edition of Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO.